Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
So, Brad, do you know how Disney has audio animatronic robots?
Yes, I think I've heard of those before.
And you know how they usually move, like, pretty slow?
Okay, so pretty slow with the exception of, like, the new ones, right? Because you're not taking Elsa or the Shaman in that, right?
Well, but they're still, I mean, they're, like, moving around, but they're not, like, doing action stunts and...
Okay, that's fair. Like, that's fair. Yes, they're not doing those things.
They're moving relatively slow.
Yes. Okay.
So what if there was a robot that could do action stunts?
What would you call this robot, Jeremy?
Stuntronics.
Wow. That's really the way that you want to introduce this story. Okay. That's fair. That's fair. Go ahead.
Basically, Disney has created robot stunt doubles. These robots, there are videos of these robots, and they are like being launched from like seesaws, and they're doing flips and like stuff in the air, and they're, you know, like getting shot out of cannons or whatever, and they look like Cirque du Soleil acrobats.
Yes, but they're robots, which makes it so awesome. And the TechCrunch article that we're going to link in the show notes talks about using them in the parks.
Right. The Disneyland version of Fantasmic has a lot of action on the pirate ship and, you know, stuff like that, where these robots are doing dangerous live action stunts.
Yeah, so imagine that Peter Pan suddenly flies out from the mountain or whatever on Fantasmic, like Walt Disney World version of Fantasmic, because I don't remember if Disneyland has a mountain, but anyway, so imagine that Peter Pan suddenly like flies out into the air, like not Tinkerbell style. There's no obvious method for him to be doing that, and you're like, what?
Yeah,
they just made a dude fly. And it's, yeah, they did, but the dude happens to be a robot.
A robot.
And not, but, like, not just throwing some random crash test dummy into the air, but these things actually have the ability to control their, like, their body in the air. So they can do different poses in the air. So they can do the Peter Pan, like, pose as they're flying across the air, or the, you know, Iron Man pose, or the Mr. Incredible pose, or whichever pose you might like for whatever show that I am like certain that Disney has already come up with for the use of this. Because you can disagree here, but I can't see these being used, based on what we've seen of the videos anyway, in like an attraction. Because it seems like it would take too long to reload them, right?
Yeah.
But in a show, they would be beautiful, man.
Right. Especially a show like Fantasmic that runs once, maybe twice a night.
See, I could even see them being in like the... And
Indiana
I know that,
Jones
right,
Stunt Spectacular.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking. And I'm like...
A lot more interesting.
I'm like, I doubt they're going to update that with the robots, but that's the sort of show that I could see this working really, really well for.
What if they did... What if they... okay, hang on. You always get on me for this. Spoiler alert.
Not safe for magic.
What I'm about to say. Okay. What if they replace the person that they pick for, like, the, quote, random person they pick from the audience with a robot? Like, a robot without a head.
Like they take him to the back? And yes, that's exactly what I was thinking. I'm like, what if they, take him to the back and then suddenly he shoots out across the...
Excuse me, can I get someone from the audience? What about you, sir, with no clothes on and a metal body? Yeah. Come on down. Yes. And then they're like, oh, what are you gonna do? And yeah, they shoot him out of a cannon or something. Like, that would be pretty funny.
Well, and I think that's the whole point of this TechCrunch article. Like, yes, in the Au Naturel, these robots are incredibly easy to tell that they're robots.
Right.
But if you saw this not immediately in front of you and clothed in the same clothing that, say, the random person from, or, you know, in the Iron Man suit or in the Mr. Incredible suit, or, you know, insert whatever here in the Peter Pan outfit, like, you would totally not know that this was a robot. Like, the videos that they're showing, the body movements feel extremely realistic to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the way that they contort themselves in the air is incredible. Like, it does feel like watching Cirque, like someone flying through the air in a Cirque du Soleil show, or, you know, just like at a circus, someone on a trapeze. That it feels like that. They're very fluid, but also, like, I guess the only knock I can give them is that they're too precise.
Like, you know, they hit the mark every time.
Well, yeah, and like the way that their bodies move, I feel like with a human, if you were to like take your arm from your side to straight out, there's a little bit of like over, you know, you overcorrect a bit, and so you kind of go like past where you want, past 90 degrees, and then to like 85 degrees, and then to 90, but they're just like 90 and they're done. You know, there's no extra movement. It's kind of an uncanny valley thing where it's just it's a little too perfect, but I mean, they're so fluid and honestly human like in their movements.
But again, I'm going to make the argument, when it's flying through the air, yeah, are you going to notice that? Yeah.
No, not even a little bit, not at all.
And so what excites me about this, right, is we see so many things. Like, literally last week, we talked about the patent Disney was using for, you know, how to record shows better, right? Like, how to do apps.
Clippy.
Yeah, yeah. Clippy for your iPhone, basically. And that was a patent. And we talked about, like, what we saw as the future for that. This isn't a patent. This is actually being built. And not only is it actually being built, but people are talking about how it could affect park stuff. So I think this could actually end up being used in the parks. And that's exciting to me because, again, after seeing the way that Elsa and the shaman look and seeing what that next generation of audio animatronics has to offer, to take another step beyond that into, you know, and that's the thing. These are not going to, like, smile and talk, as at least initially, I don't expect, right, as they go across the sky. But to be, what, I guess, purpose-built for this, I think is great.
I can see Streetmosphere using these. Like, you know, because they do, so the Citizens of Hollywood, and I don't know if Disney would use it for something as stupid as this.
But they totally should. I can definitely see that.
But, like, they do, you know, stand-up comedy contest and free advice. What if they did, like, a stunt contest and, you know, they had, like, a cannon and they, you know, shot the Citizens of Hollywood, and they had some way to get the people from the cannon to the landing zone. And then you had a robot who was doing, you know, different tricks and stuff.
And they shot them
air,
like over the street from one, yeah, building to the other or something like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah. And yes, and just doing it for silly things like that even would, I think, be great.
Yeah. So I think the moral of the story is we're both super excited about Stuntronics, which probably, yes, means that nothing will ever come of it.
Yeah, probably.
So I wonder, though, is it at all coincidental, perhaps, that we're seeing the Stuntronic stuff all come out around the same time as Star Wars is, you know, like, in the building phases?
Hmm. I mean, there are a lot of robots in Star Wars.
Yeah, if you were going to shoot robots and you didn't want to dress them, but you still wanted them to be realistic per se, you know, what about when C-3PO suddenly gets shot out and he's like flailing his arms about as he gets shot from one side to the other or something like that?
I hadn't thought about that. I hadn't thought about Star Wars being kind of being the impetus of this technology.
And I don't know that it's so much the impetus, but that it's the logical conclusion, perhaps,
yeah,
to this technology and the natural progression for this technology.
Yeah, no, I think you're definitely in the ballpark, because that is a droid heavy universe.
And if you can suddenly just shoot droids all over the place, I mean, so much the better.
Well, but even could you? So in Universal, they have you ever seen the Optimus Prime and Bumblebee animatronics?
No.
I just haven't. I don't believe there's people in them. Okay. But they're huge. They're, you know, 12 feet tall, 15 feet tall. I mean, they're huge. And they talk to guests and they move very, very fluidly. But I don't think there's people in them.
So it's not like the Pandora
robot. Chicken walker thing with the floppy legs. No.
Yeah.
No. But it is like it's a show almost. Like they don't walk around the park. You basically go up to the Transformers ride at a certain time and Optimus Prime and Bumblebee will come out. And then just talk to guests. Like, they don't walk around the way that Streetmosphere kind of is, and in the way that some of the characters in the parks just kind of walk around. They have, it's a meet and greet spot, the way that, you know, a lot of things at Disney are. But I wonder if you could do droids that could fall down. You know, like, I wonder if you could make a more realistic fur character, like in Star Wars, of what's the one in Rogue One? K2SO, Alan Tudyk's character,
right?
If you could make a droid like that that could interact with guests in a way that, like, now it'd be tough because if somebody pushed him over and the droid fell onto another person, like that would be,
they would probably frown upon that. Yes, that's fair. That's fair.
But if it could, at a meet and greet, maybe they could make some sort of zone where it could, I don't know, sit down or fall back or something, you know, some kind of, for comedy reasons, or, you know, like if the droid could, like if a kid came up, if he could turn around and walk backwards and then sit down, like plop down on the ground, and then the, you know, think it's a, you know, come here, and the kid could stand next to him and they could take a picture or something. I'm just trying to think of ways that they could use that, not in a way that they showed, you know, which was basically just these things flying through the air, but something where maybe a more physically articulate humanoid could be used in a park.
Yeah, see, I see that more as like Stuntronics 2.0.
Yeah, probably.
Because I think 1.0 is pretty much just they can control their bodies inside the... Yeah, yeah, through the air, they can really control their bodies.
I don't want to say, like, it is impressive. I do not want to...
Oh, absolutely.
It is incredible.
And, you know, they could definitely do that. So, I guess, did we discuss that I actually saw the Pandora floppy leg dude?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. So I saw him, and that is pretty much, so, you know, you were talking about keeping people from like knocking him over into another guest or something. That's pretty much like he had multiple handlers,
uh-huh,
and they made sure that you stayed behind these lines in the concrete or whatever as he did his thing. And then he decided, you know, and then there was a point where he walks from one side to the other, and they make sure they clear everybody out to the lines. It's all very scripted.
It's not an organic kind of a thing.
So it kind of,
they're not
is.
Just walking among people.
No, not at all. Not at all. It's organic in that you don't feel like you're hearing a script, but the actions, you know, there are certain points that are scripted, right? And then it's organic, and then it's scripted, and then it's organic again. So, you know, Disney can do that kind of stuff. But again, I think that's more Stuntronics 2.0 at least. But even 1.0, I mean, like the video there where they, you know, wire launch that one robot and it keeps its body straight up and down and, you know, moves its legs and its arms and everything in air. That just, that opens up so many possibilities to me for doing things that just will seem impossible, because they are, because they're impossible to do with an actual human being, because Disney doesn't want to pay the insurance that it would cost to throw an actual human being in the air in that way. But they can totally do it with a, you know, audio animatronic. So I don't know. I'm so excited to see what this could lead to. And I just, and again, I totally think that more will come of it, because it is not, you know, it's not just advertised as a patent. But I want to see this in use in the real world.
Yeah. Yeah, I would be happy to see that at all. You know, if they had one show that featured 10 seconds of one of those, I mean, I would love to see how that actually looks.
Even just kind of in the background. It doesn't even have to be a major part of the show.
I just want to see the repeatability of it. You know, I want to see that it's as good as it looks. Because you can get lucky, and we don't know how many times they've tried to film those things flying through the air. But just to be able to see the repeatability of it in a show environment is exciting to me.
Yeah, does it only fly at 78 degrees, and at 80 degrees does it suddenly fall a little short or something?
Right.
Yeah, that would be interesting to look at.
How does it do in Florida when it's, you know, 98 degrees at 10 p.m.?
That's fair. That's fair. Or when it suddenly starts raining right in the middle of the show.
Right. This next story in our show notes has been a near, like, so I believe this was in our show notes a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago.
I think it was only a week ago.
But we never got to it, or we didn't get to it. I have been cracking up about this for a while, because, like, basically Splash Mountain has a new sponsor. And if you're like me, you didn't realize that Splash Mountain
had an old sponsor.
Yeah, I guess I don't remember what the last sponsor for Splash Mountain was, but Splash Mountain's new sponsor is Ziploc. But on the surface, yeah, that seems great, you know. And I think everybody gets a bag when they ride Splash Mountain. Is that right?
So according to WW Magic, they said that Ziploc has taken this over, and guests will have access to Ziploc bags at Splash Mountain, which are already widely used by guests to keep possessions protected on a water ride. So
I love that. Which are already widely used by guests.
That's
look,
fair.
Everyone's already using these.
That's fair. Okay, so here's the thing. Here's the thing. Again, going back to my last visit, for those of you who don't follow us on Twitter, I got
shame
wet.
On you.
I got really, really wet at Disney's Hollywood Studios. And I wish I would have had a Ziploc bag, because my phone's power button is still not quite right. My phone works fine, but the power button is just a little wonky. And if I'd have had a Ziploc bag to put that in, I would have been very happy. So I totally buy that lots of guests are smarter than me and have brought their Ziploc bags along with them to use at the park. And in fact, next visit, I mean, a Ziploc bag takes up like no space when it's not.
crumble that baby up and shove it in your pocket.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm going to have a Ziploc bag next visit. So anyway, I totally buy that Ziploc bags are a thing at the Disney parks.
So that's the service level one that makes sense. You know, everybody gets a bag, they can put their stuff in it. Will they modify the song that we hear after the final drop? Will it be a ziplockety doo dah? Ziplockety day. My oh my.
aren't these bags things, good at keeping yeah. things dry?
My things are dry today. I laughed so hard when I was like, oh, Ziploc, that's good. And then it was, oh, Ziplockety-doo-dah.
So that's, so in
it's
our...
It's just a, it's such a fun little coincidence that yeah. there's already the word zip.
Yeah, it's been, so again, this has been in our show notes since last week, and we briefly discussed it after the show, and you said Ziplockety-doo-dah, and I'm like, how did I not think of that? I was just totally thinking of it as a... It's a water ride. It has Ziploc bags. That makes sense. The zip part of it, I had completely missed, and I don't know how I missed it, because that part is brilliant. And so on the one hand, there's the part of me that says, over my dead body, will they ever try to associate Zippity-Doo-Dah with Ziploc? On the other hand is the part of me that says, I would love to see them associating Zippity-Doo-Dah with Ziploc, because it is so perfect.
If Ziploc is smart at all, they will have a logo in that room. They'll have a, like, on the in the middle of the paddle on the paddle boat or something. They gotta have a logo, or they gotta put gallon-sized Ziplocs in everybody's hands while they're singing and dancing. They gotta do something.
I mean, is it not kind of like, because Ziploc is actually sponsoring this, and then aren't they also sponsoring the KidCot, right?
Oh, are they?
Yeah, yeah. So all around Epcot, which is also covered in the WW Magic article. That they're.
I guess I got to Ziploc and stopped reading.
And you went, or Splash Mountain and stopped reading. That's hilarious. So yes, they're also sponsoring that. And I actually saw some of the KitKat things, and essentially it is a Ziploc bag with some handles on it to make it look kind of like a briefcase for kids to carry their KitKat stuff in. But, you know, I could definitely make jokes about how low effort that is. But what I will say instead is that I saw kids really liking the fact that they had a bag to keep their stuff in, right? Like, kids were actually carrying it by the handles, and they, you know, had their little KitKat things inside of it, and they really enjoyed that. So, you know, with the KitKat thing, I feel like the Ziploc logo, as with the, so take for example the Siemens logo at Spaceship Earth, right? It's kind of like tagged on to the end,
right?
I would assume this would be a similar sort of thing. But
is Dame Judi Dench going to say something about Ziploc?
I don't know.
Thank you for writing. Splash Mountain.
Can I mention real quick that even though Siemens is no longer supporting Spaceship Earth, they are still in the, they haven't re-recorded that section.
Oh, well, that's awkward.
Yeah, it was. It was really awkward because I was writing Spaceship Earth and we got to the end and it said presented by Siemens. And I'm like, not anymore.
Hey, on that note, did the silly video thing at the end work for you?
Nope.
It didn't.
Let me rephrase that. It worked, but it didn't have our pictures on it. Which,
yeah, that's what I meant.
Which in my,
so no, it did not.
Yeah,
work.
In my terms means it didn't work. But when we got off, we saw other people's that appeared to work.
Oh well, that's baloney.
I know, right?
What's wrong with your face?
I wanted. I don't know. Maybe we got caught by the filters because maybe my face was just too awesome. But yes, they did not.
Did you put a middle finger up or something right in front of your face?
No. No, I did. I did nothing that should prevent my face from showing up, but my face did not show up, nor did my sister's. So, yeah, it didn't work for us. But yes, it was very weird hearing presented by Siemens at the end when I'm like, it's totally not. But I guess they just haven't re-recorded that. So, yeah. So Ziploc could have something like that, but I just expect that Disney is going to move much more toward the, we'll tag your name onto the end of something and we'll hand out some of your stuff for free if you want to sponsor something.
I will say though, in the whole Spaceship Earth thing, they don't need to re-record anything. They just need to last 1 second of that audio clip.
Well, and that's what I didn't understand. That's what surprised me is it was Spaceship Earth. Just don't say presented by.
Yeah,
that's all you got to do. But Yeah, I don't know. At the same time, again, now that you've told me about Ziplockety Doodah, I kind
of just seems like too good of something to pass up.
Just at the very end, and we, you know, just a sign at the exit, a sign as you're headed back into the parks. Have a Ziplockety Doodah day.
And yeah, and that would be fine.
Who couldn't be cool with that? I'm a Disney purist, right? I'm the person who complains about Frozen on a regular basis because of where it's located. And even I would be cool with the sign that says Ziplockety Doodah Day. But then again, I totally loved when McDonald's had the, you know, dinosaur sponsorship, right? Because they did the really cool posters at the exit.
I never got to experience that.
Yeah, you need to go to Google and type in, you know, Animal Kingdom dinosaur McDonald's posters. Yes,
I'm writing this down. Google.
Right.
And what do I Google?
The McDonald's dinosaur posters, because those were funny too. So I'm cool with sponsorship when done properly. So yeah,
I just think Ziploc is a slam dunk, both for the like putting your things in a bag. And for the, you know, having the word zip, that feels like a sponsorship that actually makes sense. Far more sense than like FedEx and Space Mountain.
Yes, which was always, you know, kind of a rough one. I mean,
yeah,
like if they were willing to pay for it, I'm willing to support them paying for it. But yes, it definitely seemed questionable.
It just didn't make sense. This makes sense. And it feels organic, you know, like I hate to use all these marketing words and stuff, but it actually makes sense and feels organic, and I like it.
Hashtag synergy.
Yeah, they really got me with this one.
Mm-hmm. You're all about the Ziplockety Doodah Day.
I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. You can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode, and until then, have a magical day.